Misfit Toys.
If you like Doug Benson, check out his new CD, Professional Humoridian, available on iTunes and at astrecords.com.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screening baby sticky seeds with 50 as of popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, cause Doug loves movies.
Hello, hello everybody. Hey, what's up? Welcome to I Love Movies, a podcast from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. Theme song by Hard and Firm. Cookie that I ate this afternoon by Laura. Yes. A young lady named Laura gave me a cookie. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock. The show's not for 5 hours. I'm going to be fine. By 5 hours from now, it's going to be great. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, I can't even think of anything that's supposed to happen. Did you guys see Hancock? I skipped it. He's had the number one movie like 5 times on... Oh, hey, Bob. Mystery guest Bob Odenkirk is here. Yeah. Turned my story into a real cliffhanger. Will Doug remember what story he was telling? And the answer is no. Let's bring our first guest out. You know him from when he stuck his head out just now and talked to me. It's so many other things. A show, Mr. Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Odenkirk. Let's hear it for him. Here he comes. Hey, buddy. Whoa. That was a crazy, crazy entrance. This is... It's great, isn't it?
I've seen this table. Charlie Rose, no. Nobel Peace Prize awards, this is what they use. This table, and this setup with the microphones.
Took into this one, though.
Hi, everyone.
The podcast listeners didn't get any of that.
Is this actually a podcast?
This is a podcast, yeah. It's not just for these folks who are in the baggy shorts in the front row. I love it. This is awesome.
Hey, you know, I gotta ask you something.
It's a hot summer night. Let's put on our baggy shorts and go watch guys talk about movies.
Doug.
Yeah.
You know the thing where your pants hang down under your underwear? You know the thing?
Sure.
Like, a lot of times when, as people age, they'll bring their fashion from teenage years up with them. It'll come with them. They'll continue to do it, even though they've outgrown it in every way. In every way, they should have stopped. But the thing where your pants go...
He's gonna do it for the audience. It's the gang pants, where you can see some of the underwear and some pants, and they're kind of miraculous because they always stay up. How do they stay up? They always hold it. They're like magicians. I see them from behind. It looks like they just have a wee, you know, they have an interesting way of walking.
They hold it, right? You've seen it, right?
They have a very cliched limp going on, I thought, was what was happening. Richard Belzer, circa 1975. My impression of a black man, that kind of walk. He did start it.
The black guy saw it and said, I guess I got to walk like that now. Jesus. All right. I don't want to prove him a liar. So that is not going to age well, is my point.
That's
you don't
want to
be
point.
Doing that when you're 50. And anyhow, we'll see what happens. It's the great mystery of the century. How will that fashion fad age? The funny thing, too, is that it will go away. And then kids now are like 10-year-olds are like, the fuck? How corny. Jesus, with the hole in his pants? Weird.
What do you like that's playing like in the movie theaters right now?
What do I
like?
I want to see Hellboy, because that guy is amazing.
I heard that Hellboy is like if Hellboy and Pan's Labyrinth had a Hellboy.
Baby. I want to see
it's
that.
It's like fucking freaky as shit, supposedly.
I think I want to see Batman.
I could not be. That's the movie for me. I think that's the best movie of the year, sight unseen.
Yeah, I can't wait to see
I'm
that.
I'm completely in. I read in the L.A. Times, Christopher Nolan said that he was making an upsetting crime drama and not an action hero movie. And I'm like, yes, upsetting crime drama. And the dude is dead. The dude in the movie is dead. It's going to be creepy as all hell.
Oh, man.
Count me in, Bob. You going to take the kids? You taking the kids? Mommy and me day, maybe, Monday morning?
No. My kids have not seen, like, scary movies or even movies that are that racy. They haven't.
No, it's good. Keep them sheltered.
They actually... Yeah.
They seem like sweet kids. I was at a barbecue with them the other day, and they didn't come anywhere near me, so they know what's up. They've got good intuition.
They can read vibes. They can read vibes.
Dogs love me, but the kids, they know better. So what, a movie lately that you liked? Did you name one?
Oh, that I liked?
Yeah.
Can I tell you that when you told me what we were going to discuss this evening, it's a very, different experience of movies from I feel like from most people.
Okay.
I do not care about the fact. Like I'm watching Casablanca right now as I work out. I have a little thing, and I watch a movie, and it usually takes me like 3 workouts to watch it, and I've never thought it's never swept me up. And I've watched it probably 7 or 8 times in my life. And, it's one of those things that people talk about, like one of the best movies ever, and people just worship it. And I find it kind of cold, and I even find it kind of clunky. Like, I don't know if you remember it very well, but Humphrey Bogart sees the girl, and he has had a past with her, and he's supposed to help shepherd her through wartime Casablanca. She's a fugitive, and the guy she's with is a fugitive.
And there's a Maltese Falcon.
From the Nazis. No. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. When did they start making movies,
Just
Doug?
Pucker
what
up
year?
And blow. Just
what
pucker
year?
Up and blow.
What year?
You know how to whistle, don't you? Just pucker up and blow.
What year did they start making movies?
They started making movies in 78.
That's right.
76 was a preview with Star Wars. And then a few years later,
anyhow,
movies became awesome.
I don't know if you remember this, but he says, look, they clearly have this past, right? There's all this weight to their scenes, and they really look at each other with great meaning, and they make comments, and they have this intense past, and they were in love. And they have this song, and don't play it, I can't hear it. And she's like, play it. And he's like, if you play it for her, you play it for me. And then, after all that, which
it's
is like,
uncanny,
we get it.
Uncanny, the
right,
voices.
We get it, right? Thank you. Thank you so much. And when I think of how long I worked on it, if it hadn't done well.
Pays off. Hard work.
The time you spend. And then there's this fucking montage of them as younger people. Humphrey Bogart has like hair extensions in. And they're in Paris. And there's like little films playing behind them as they drive a car. And it's insane. It's crappy. Poorly made. You don't need the whole sequence.
Hey, buddy.
Sorry, Doug told me to come out.
Talking about fucking Castle.
Chris Hardwick's here, everybody.
I was actually invited to be on the show.
Yeah,
he was invited. It's terribly awkward for me to just say, just come out when you get
listen,
there.
I didn't know anyone interrupt the Casablanca. No.
This is the best news of all.
Don't worry. I'll remember to get back on track. But briefly,
trust
Chris,
me.
Doug.
Put a pothead in charge.
What were you doing? Why did you have to come in a few minutes late? What was going on?
I was doing an interview for a podcast for some friends of mine with one of the guys from the New Pornographers. And
are you always on a podcast?
Yeah, that's right. I just hop from podcast to podcast. I haven't
sing
really
like,
figured
sing
out how
like
to
in a rocker voice, living on a podcast. Just do it for me.
Living on a podcast!
See, I knew you'd be able
to
do that.
I haven't figured out how to monetize it yet, so it's probably a bad career decision, but I figure...
Make it write a book about it.
Yeah, but I just don't want to do anything else but be...
Living on a podcast!
You're podcasting this, right? Oh, fucking sweet. Well, I'm great.
Two for Two Tuesday for Chris Hardwick.
You started it. You started your year on the pod.
That's right.
So,
my
Bob is in a Casablanca's overrated thing. Go.
It's not just that it's overrated. It's that, for me, it's not even that, like, it's in my top 100. It doesn't even rate. There's only, it's a good movie.
Top 2054?
I could give a shit. I'll watch it if I'm working out, but... Yeah, just turn it on. You gotta work out all the time. So, and I can't watch the same 15 movies over and over, which is what I do. The point is, I have my movies that I like, right? And there's like 20 of them, and then that's it. Everything else, some of it's okay. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter to me. I don't care. It doesn't make it good because it's technically good. I don't give a shit. And just like the movies that I love, I don't care if they're technically not good. They're my favorite movies.
How often does a new one get in? How often can a new one get into the 20?
Hancock? Huh? Probably not.
I don't know, man. I would say it's not often.
All right, here we go.
All right, go ahead.
EW, Entertainment Weekly Magazine, Chris Hardwick, Bob Odenkirk.
Which, by the way, I'm in that one, so I have to honor their lists
okay.
somewhat.
These are the list of the new classics, and by new classics they mean since some specific year.
Okay. The point is they want
75 or some shit. It's in here. Best of the last 25 years.
All right, good.
All right, so here we go. Number 10, according to this magazine, Moulin Rouge.
What?
Top 10 films by Johnny Faggot Pants.
Yes, you can! Yes, you can! Yes, you can!
Moulin Rouge!
Oh, those summer nights.
I love 19th century French techno.
Chris is willing to go further than I was.
What would number 8 be? Let's just go down the list.
Let's go to number 9.
You know, I got to say, when I saw this table, I thought we were going to have a serious discussion.
You thought it was going to be all Charlie Rose style. Okay, Die Hard is number 9. And then it says here that in the TV version, he says, Yippee-ki-yay, Melon Farmer.
He really does say that.
It says that he says that.
Well, technically, he is German.
Let me just say,
so that's another reason to watch that movie. It's a great movie. That's a really good movie.
It's a lot of fun to dub movies and make up crazy bullshit. And just because two of the films I've done have been dubbed for network, and that will be fun to see. I can't wait to see. I hope I get to see Let's Go to Prison and the Brothers Solomon. Played on some USA network or something because the nuttiest bullshit. We just put in crazy, meaningless insanity, and it'll be funny as can be. Funniest thing, I suppose, about them. Yeah. Keep going.
It just adds an extra layer of funny, which you can.
From
never,
now on, I'm going to write that in. I'm just
like
going to say now, right?
You have two people being funny. nobody agrees with that. Or they're dying to know what's next on the list. Number 8, I think it should rank much higher. I'll check with you guys after I say it. Silence of the Lambs. Woo! Yeah. I think that should go up higher on the list than 8th.
I don't know, man.
Really?
None of these movies.
Spectacular.
They're all
movie.
Technically
it's
well
on,
made.
I watch it from the
really?
Moment I start watching it.
It's very, very well done. It's
mesmerizing.
Great. Yeah, but who gives a shit? It's about a fucking murderer. And whatever, murderers are depraved and
you're
soulless.
You're a tough nut to crack, Bubba.
Who gives a shit? I mean, what are you contributing? And look, I've made three movies, and I don't think they rank either at all, anywhere near rank. But the point is, what are you contributing to the?
I put them in my top 1500.
The conversation. What are you contributing to the conversation? The public dialogue or whatever. You know what I mean? What are you contributing to the world by making that movie? I mean, technically proficient, very entertaining, but I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't think it's. I don't know.
I don't know. It brings,
keep it, going. See if you can hit one.
It's so,
I like
it's
to hear
so,
one that I think belongs in a.
Well, it's so horrible. Like it makes me feel good about my life.
Silence of the Lambs has brought us years of entertaining Hannibal Lecter satire.
Put the lotion in the bucket. Put the lotion in the bucket.
Oh, God, stop it. Oh, my God.
Put it in. Put it in. It
gets me every time.
Put it in.
Sometimes when I was mad at my kids and I needed them to do something when they were little babies, I would say, it washes its hands. It finishes its vegetables. I don't know if they got the thing I was...
I love it. Number 7, Hannah and Her Sisters.
Well, you know...
I think that's fairly appropriately placed. It's,
movie,
it's the most, it's the sunniest of all of his movies.
How is Crimes and Misdemeanors not the movie?
Well, that's
a better...
You know, they sort of then go on to mention some of his other movies. But,
I mean, Hannah and Her Sisters is about an old man having a crush, which is pathetic. Fucking
yeah.
Pathetic.
But he gets her in the end, though, doesn't he? So
what?
Works out okay.
No, he tells her he made a huge mistake, and he. There's one thing, one reason why it should
about
belong
the
there.
One?
And
is this the one where it's in Russia?
No, Max von Sydow's awesome.
Is it in the future?
Awesome. One of the best lines ever in a Woody Allen movie.
Is he in jail?
Can I just say that one of the
yes.
best lines ever in a Woody Allen movie, if Jesus Christ came back today and saw what was happening in his name, he would never stop vomiting.
Max
so,
von Sydow.
Awesome. I don't think he improvised that.
But that was in Hannah and Her Sisters.
Yes.
So this is a good choice.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan's number 6.
Of course not.
And
the
I don't
first
like
20 minutes.
I don't like anything with that
minutes
bookend,
are amazing.
Bookend stuff. I don't like that. You like the first 20? Oh, you
Wait,
mean
the
once
whole,
on the beach.
The landing is an amazing experience and belongs in some museum of war somewhere. But the fucking movie is corny as shit with all these fucking cornball characters and this story. Come on. Come on. Jesus.
I didn't make this list,
Waste
Bob.
Of time. Keep going.
Don't yell at me. I only invited Chris so that you wouldn't yell at me.
I'm not doing
Keep
a very
going.
Good job of stopping it.
Keep going.
You probably agreed with some of that. It's an overrated movie. Number 5 is Toy Story.
It's really good.
Toy Story.
It's a very, very well done movie.
It's very well done. I like 2 better for some reason.
Yeah, 2 is a little more of an interesting story.
But if they were going to pick a movie that sort of ushered in the new the Pixar CG era, I think Toy Story is a good choice.
I don't think it beats Nemo though.
Nemo was good, yeah. It's true.
There's something kind of you know, one thing about Toy Story is the people characters were so fucking weird. Remember that? It was like hard to look at.
Yeah, that's what got better in the next movie.
It's a bit of a negative.
They were a little less weird to look at. That first one, they were
Well, it all just
creepy.
Works together. Yeah, that's right.
They were Polar Express creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I hope that movie's in the top 3.
I feel like Polar Express, like whenever I see Bruce Jenner now, he reminds me of watching like Polar Express where you're like, it's almost human.
Okay, this next one, number 4, I'd put it 2 or 3, and it's Blue Velvet. It's a good one, right?
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Several of his films. It's a challenging movie. I think Elephant Man is an amazing movie.
Can I argue why a Blue Velvet belongs there? Because so much of what's significant about the storytelling is the images and the way they're married to the music. And I mean, in other words, it's like it's not like one thing about Saving Private Ryan is it would probably you could write down what happens and it would have the same impact. Except for that first 20 minutes, which is visceral, that it would have watching it. It wouldn't have more impact watching people walk around saying those things as it would reading it. But Blue Velvet, you could never put that on paper and have it matter the way it does as a film. So it's a better film. It's a better use of film.
Back to Saving Private Ryan, though. Have you seen the YouTube footage where they put Yakety Sax over like a big chunk of the first?
I want to see that.
And like bullets flying to hell. It was fucking awesome. If you just search Yakety Sax and Saving Private Ryan, you'll see it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good use. They've timed all the bullets to go. Good stuff.
Here's another one that would be good to do that to. Number three is Titanic.
Oh, come the fuck on! Are you... Boo,
number
indeed.
Number three is Titanic.
Why? Is there any... There's a glare, so I can't see the magazine, but is there any justification for why Titanic...
Well, you know, there was that tragic ending where that old asshole threw that valuable diamond into the water. That was sad. I actually scribbled that on the magazine. That joke. But, I don't know. People love that movie. I got to say, when it's on cable, I think it's immensely watchable. I really think that Leonardo DiCaprio's got something.
Yeah, I agree. But I think...
I really do. I think he carries it like in the way that, like, if you know, a decade or two earlier, Robert Redford would a movie. Like, he's just so charming that you want to make love to him in a boat that's sinking. You could die with some dignity. Number two.
It's corny, though. It's corny. Hold on a second.
It's a super corny movie.
Titanic is corny.
Oh, it's corny.
And that fucking old woman.
There was nobody running around the corn level, threatening another guy for taking his lady. That wasn't there. There was a perfectly good cruise until they hit the iceberg.
Dude, what about the beginning of the Titanic where his Italian friend is the worst? Hey, Jack, are we going to America? And maybe we bring a pizza to America. Like, it's so fucking horrible. I can't believe any movie that has that kind of...
How about Billy Zane?
That's what I'm saying.
Shouldn't his character be tying a woman to a railroad track?
With a stovepipe hat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waxing his moustache.
Titanic should have been shown silent with an old piano next to it.
But the old woman thing, the wraparound with the old woman is fucking horrible. And I'm sure she's a fine actress, but
yeah.
The things she has to say just couldn't be worse corny.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
The only way I could like that is if that was my grandma. Then I would say, she's great.
I still get mad that she threw that thing in the ocean.
That was worth millions, you fucking cunt.
Like, I still get mad about it. Sometimes I'll wake up and be mad
about
it.
Well, it shows that she's senile. It shows that the point of the movie is when people
She should have given those diamonds to Leona Helmsley's cats and dogs.
The point is that when people have Alzheimer's, it's very sad. And they have memories that are not true. They imagine they were on the Titanic.
What if she just went back in and said, I just threw my poop over the side. They went, no, that was the heart of the ocean.
She has Alzheimer's. Should we let her hang on to the valuables?
You know, to make a movie about Alzheimer's is brave. And I think the interesting thing and the thing that makes people gasp is... You watch this movie, and you care about this story, and you worry for this lady, and the memories she has are so heavy. And then when she does this completely illogical, horrifying thing, how much good could she have done with that diamond? She obviously doesn't have any understanding of what the world is, where she is, what's going on, what's important or not important. And they've made their point. They've made their point that people with Alzheimer's live in a completely... other world. That's just tragic. And you shouldn't believe them when they tell memories.
In the, sequel, she rips up her stimulus check. Thinks it's just junk mail. Rips it right up. $600.
I think it'd be fine. I like your idea that it's... I think they should go back and re-edit it to mirror more of her, like, crumbling mind. And then just you see weird stuff in the background, like, and then the band started playing as puppies flew to freedom. You know, like, there's just weird shit in the background that she remembers.
Okay, I gotta get two more in before we run out of time. The Lord of the Rings trilogy is number two.
Oh,
Lord of
the fuck.
The trilogy is number two?
I made it through 15 minutes of that fucking thing. It was like a Kodak commercial with these goddamn little creatures jumping around the fucking sun-dappled meadow and this fucking Bilbo character putting on this goddamn ring, which is he does as a prank. He does it to open the movie. He does it as a prank. Then later, when Frodo puts it on, it's a fucking nightmare world. So why does Bilbo think it's a fucking hoot to put it on? Why is it just a big joke that he scampers around with the thing on to play a prank on his buddies on his birthday? And the fucking Frodo, he goes to hell.
And now I'm just imagining.
Now wait, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Period. That's in the first 15 minutes.
I'm just imagining.
Secondly,
your kid saying, "Daddy, tell
Gandalf, shut up." Gandalf. Gandalf is. I agree. I understand he's magic, but the notion that he can change and does change his height constantly when he walks around, it doesn't charm me. It didn't charm me that they.
They say
where in Tolkien does it say?
They say that he filmed an unfilmable novel, and I say keyword unfilmable. What the fuck? All right, number one, Bob. Here we go. Any last thoughts on? Got about 30 seconds, I think. Any last thoughts on Pulp Fiction? Is there number one new classic?
Well, I would never make it number one, but it's certainly in the top ten.
It's certainly
definitely.
Up there. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's
my only complaint besides the
watchable.
Actresses with the bad foreign accents or the bad foreign actresses. There's two of them in there, I think. Besides that, it bothers me that the cleaner comes in and says, you know, hey, wash that blood off of those guys. Get rid of the body. I'm the cleaner. I fixed everything. Like, he comes in,
yeah.
Everything Harvey Keitel tells him to do, no shit, they're all fucking criminals. I think they'd all proceed to do exactly those things that he suggests that they do. He's not an innovator. He's not...
he doesn't help.
He doesn't cut any corners. He doesn't make him a sandwich. He comes in and acts like he's really in control and he doesn't do shit.
And that movie made the N-word okay for white people to say again.
That's our show. Thank you very much, everybody. Bob Odenkirk, Chris Hardwick. I love movies.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hi, I'm stand-up comedian and sex symbol Tig Notaro.
And I'm actor and writer Cheryl Hines.
Before Cheryl and I got into the big business of podcasting together, we were just simply friends.
And we're still friends. But now we talk about a different documentary every week on our podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. We've covered everything from true crime to Britney Spears to My Octopus Teacher. I'm just laughing because My Octopus Teacher was crazy.
I found it more interesting that his son... now had a stepmother, and it was an octopus. We also, Cheryl, tell stories, go on tangents, and generally make our sides hurt laughing at each other.
So whether you love documentaries or just want to hear us slowly lose our minds, check out Tig and Cheryl True Story wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, cool.
My name is Paul Gilmartin, and I am the host of the Mental Illness Happy Hour podcast, where we have raw conversations about the stuff that's difficult to talk about out loud. It's made best of lists and been praised by the New York Times, Esquire, Psychology Today, and I have on regular people, therapists, and famous people like Marc Maron, Tiffany Haddish, Catherine Hahn, and Rob Delaney. Check it out, the Mental Illness Happy Hour.